Woot.
All right. Rick, it was the Alyssa Milano interview in which Sarah blocked you and said goodbye to Alyssa before you had any chance of finishing the interview.
Where was this?
And yes, where was this? And yes, she promised not to do it again. Therefore, she is in default, and I hope she dies from a caffeine overdose.
Oh.
Son, can I have that kiss now? I think he's talking to me. All right, it's 503-733-2970. By the way, there's a new and exciting profile picture on our MySpace page. You go to myspace.com/TheRickEmersonShow. A new and amusing, if completely apropos of nothing and random profile photo that Sarah saw this morning and announced was, quote, the best thing ever. So, there you go. By the way... again,
I'm kind of starting to hurt how many people want me to die from the caffeinated water.
You can't die from caffeinated water.
You might be able to.
You can't. If it was lethal,
but
they wouldn't sell it.
I'm sure the marketing department of this beverage is pleased to hear that over and over again. Multi-million dollar advertising campaign.
Yeah, well, you know, what are you going to do? Let's see. Sarah stepped on the end of your Steven Seagal interview worse than the end of the Carrot Top interview. She should be made to pay up on the bet and also some type of punitive penalty. There you go. What else do we have here?
But these are all logistics. Like, the bottom line is you had a task to accomplish and you did not.
Rick, this email says, I agree with the caller that Sarah cut you off. With the caller that Sarah just cut off. I believe she sabotaged the interview, preventing you from having a chance to complete the task. I didn't hear a grunt from Seagal, but I also think you got shafted by Sarah. I say Sarah should be reprimanded, harshly, and with leather. Well played. It was just poor sportsmanship on Sarah's part. See, it undermines my case a little bit every time I read an email, and it's just a thinly veiled attempt from some guy to have sex with you.
You know, I'm not the one. I didn't see you hang up. Tim saw you
before
you got the last one out.
I swear to God.
And I know Tim Riley.
All that
I
is
don't
holy.
Trust you, Rick Emerson,
I'm
but I know that Tim Riley is an honest man.
As a newsman, I'm trusted by thousands.
I have noted, by the way, we're now at 90 minutes since I asked Susan Reynolds, who listens to this program every day. Susan Reynolds, CBS Radio Portland Marketing Department, asked her to call in. She's the one who arranged the interview with, quote, Steven Seagal.
They just ordered dessert.
I wonder who I was really talking to. What was my point? I've not disputed that I reached over here because... I'm not disputing that Tim saw it, because the hold button and the drop button are right next to each other.
Yeah, and you know them so clearly every day when you hang up on people.
Listen now, I'm just saying my thing was to put Steven Seagal on hold.
What, sausage fingers?
My thing was to put Steven Seagal on hold so that you could speak with him and thank him for a great interview.
You hung up on him.
I did not hang up on him.
He was not there.
I put him on hold... and he hung up the phone, thus making the light go out. Now, watch. Listen. Okay, well, I'll give you an example of what I'm talking. I'm going to put these whole... Rick Emerson Show. Who's this?
Hello.
Hi, who is this?
Helen.
Hi, Helen. Who are you trying...
You know what?
Yes, no.
I live out in the country, and I was going into the city to Mac yesterday, and it's like you disappeared, and then you came back. When did you come back?
Who are you trying to call, Helen?
Is this the radio?
It is. Which radio station are you trying to call?
970.
Are you trying to call the Rick Emerson program?
Yeah.
Okay. You sounded a little crazy there for a second.
No,
I thought
I'm not crazy at all.
I thought you might be a Lars listener.
Oh, come on.
I'm just saying.
Rick, there's no need to insult her.
No, I'm not saying she is crazy, but I'm saying you looked at me. I saw those of you make the big crazy eyes at me.
Well, the thing about it is, you know, I just love you all so much. And you used to be on the radio, and then you disappeared.
It is true. And then
what happened is I live out in Sheridan, so, like, I can't get, like, Tom Likas in the afternoon. And so I don't know if I can get you on the radio. But when I was going into McMinnville, I heard you. And it's like, how long have you been on the radio now?
She wants to know when we came
back. Sarah, why don't you take this one?
Well, we got fired about a year ago.
All right.
Oh, Rick's making faces at me now.
I'm not.
And we've been back on the air for about a month and a half.
Yeah, we've been back since March 13th.
Oh, Helen. That's so wonderful.
Yes.
You need to advertise somewhere because it was you were just so great. And it was like, I'm so glad you're back. I'm so glad you're all okay because I just love you to death. And I'm not crazy.
No, I didn't say you were crazy. You kind of sounded crazy at the beginning, but not now. Now you sound perfectly rational and grounded.
Well, you talk and think so fast that maybe you would think so. But
yes,
I'm just as bad as you are.
No, it is true. Well, Helen, well, thank you so much. And are you spreading the word about will you spread the word now about the program, Helen?
Well, I'll try. But, you know, they should advertise you. Somewhere they need to, Tom Likas needs to tell that you're on. People need to know you're on. 620, you need to tell people on 620 you're on, too. Because it's just like...
I don't know. Okay. Helen, God bless you. Thank you. Call us anytime, Helen, and we're glad you're out there.
I know, but how did I know you were coming on? Did you advertise? Was there any advertisement anywhere?
Did a voice maybe in your head tell you, or maybe a small creature? I don't know, Helen. I am glad you're there.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Happy that you're back.
Great. Thank you, Helen.
Bye.
No, thank you. No, thank you. Thank you.
That was Phil Hendry.
It was completely crazy.
No, that was Phil Hendry. Second time today.
It was Steven Seagal calling back.
Yeah. No, Sheridan's a long way from here, and news travels slowly in that area. That's where the federal prison is.
Is it?
Uh-huh.
You're missing somebody. Okay. That was not... Okay, I was demonstrating a whole thing there. Let me try this again.
And look at how abruptly you hung up on her.
I didn't hang up. Well, I did hang up on her. Hi, who's this?
Sean McCoof.
Hi, Sean. How are you, sir?
I'm doing all right. I'm getting a little agitated with this whole thing because you are clearly blocked. Sarah cannot deny the fact that she blocked you.
I am not denying.
Okay,
let me just say that I have absolutely no interest in Sarah whatsoever. This has nothing to do with that. But, you know, hey, partially, though, Rick, you had to know she was going to do it again because this is the third time.
I know. We've worked together for 4 years. He knows.
Apparently, though, she made some claim at the beginning that she would not be blocking.
No,
that's true. And you know what? I mean, that makes her a liar, and I think the whole thing should be, you know, null and void.
That's what I'm talking about. Thank you, Sean. Now, hold on. Now, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to put you on hold as we end this call. Now, when I put you on hold, I want you to wait about 3 seconds, and then I want you to hang up, and I'm going to demonstrate how the light going out business works, all right?
You bet.
All right, so thank you for calling. I'm going to put you on hold, give it like a 3 count, and then hang up. All right, thank you, Sean. I am putting you on hold. Okay, now look. Now watch. I reach over here.
I'm watching.
I'm putting my finger on the hold button, which is next to the drop button. Okay, now, Sean, hang up right now. See, and then he hangs up. See, and then the light goes out.
No, that took like 5 seconds. There was no light.
Well, he was giving it he was waiting, obviously. All right, hey, the hotline's ringing. That could be Susan Reynolds.
I'm not a liar. I said that I would try not to, and I did try
that.
Not to.
I don't know. I don't remember it. We'll have to hear the audio. If someone has the audio of Sarah, allegedly, I don't remember this.
Hey, hang on.
But the word is... Yes?
What?
Is there somebody on the hotline I should be talking to?
Is it flashing?
I'm not expecting a call on the hotline. Who is
it? Susan Reynolds.
All right. Let's welcome now to the Rick Emerson Show, marketing guru extraordinaire...
Yes,
CBS Radio.
I am here.
Hi, Susan. How's your day going?
Well, you know, it was fine. I was here. I was listening to the interview. I was cringing like mad. And then I had to run into a meeting. So then I come back from the meeting, and I hear you saying, and I asked her to call an hour and a half ago. Well, so now I'm calling.
All right. So here's my question is, A, who was I really talking to?
As far as I know, that was Steven Seagal.
Why does he talk that way? What's wrong?
Know.
Is something? Is he ailing somehow? Or
he sounded worse than ailing. I mean, he sounded near death.
Here's a random email. Let me just read this. It's from Todd. Todd says, "Holy crap! Are we listening to Steven Seagal die?"
That would have been cool.
Yes.
Actually.
Yes. So.
And supposedly he was on the West Coast. So where there was no, you know, time zone excuse that could be used for him not being awake. I mean, I don't know. I've never heard anybody phlegm up so bad. It was horrible.
Let me ask you this. In your estimation, was I able to get the placenta phrase out before I ended the phone call with Steven Seagal?
Well, it's to be fair, it sounded as though... You were throwing it in while he was hanging up.
Okay.
If there could be a slow motion instant replay, I think the judges would say, the phone was probably hung up.
No, I'm sorry,
Rick, because you know I like to take your side on stuff, but this time I...
Man, what do you know? You were headed into a meeting.
No, I sat here and made sure I heard that whole... And then I was beyond cringing. I couldn't believe it. It was so bad.
All right. At some point, he started to sound like... What is that guy, Sam Elliott? That old guy from Roadhouse?
Right.
Like, that is, you know, it's just...
Well, I thought it started off so horribly wrong. You know, you first of all, it wasn't really him. It was his people. And then I got the feeling that maybe they were trying to you know... roused him.
trying to clear the vomit out of his, like, he slept on his back again, you know? And
yeah, they need one of those expressors or something to get all
seriously.
The out. Anyway,
all right.
I am so sorry. No,
it's fine. No, it's,
but then
you had
again,
no way of knowing, right?
Well, we had no way of knowing. And then again, when I came back from the meeting and heard that you were still talking about it, I thought, well, if nothing else, we gave him a lot of material for today.
It really is true. This is like 9 times more advertising than he's probably gotten anywhere else. So
I mean, I would think people will just go see him at Dante's to make sure he's still living.
Everyone should go wearing a shirt that says they are Rick Emerson. And we should make a whole lot of shirts that say like, or just shirts that say like, I am not Rick Emerson. People can wear to the show to avoid a pounding.
All right. Oh, well, you know, sometimes really large people like that, people that are, you know, a lot of people are afraid of, they talk really softly, and that's kind of their, you know, control freakism, if you will.
It just sounded like he didn't have any bones left in his body. Like, he was like a boneless chicken laying on the bed, just sort of unable to really open his lips a lot. You know, it's kind of like my grandfather in the last days before they disconnected the tube.
Well, let's see. When is the show? It's Sunday.
It is Sunday the 28th.
You know, so there's still time.
Right.
You know, and who knows.
All right.
Maybe this is why he decided not to do the meet and greet.
Can you imagine if he was supposed to be a music millennium today signing stuff? Like, he could even lift a pen. All right. Susan Reynolds and Margaret, thank you, Susan.
Okay.
All right, there you go. That's
it. Well, if he's going to Dante's, maybe Clyde Lewis can hold a seance and bring him back with a pen.
Here's Tim Riley, ladies and gentlemen, at the City Desk here. He's doing that news, and he does so well. Ah, God.
And from highest out the bottom of the story, John.
Highest out the bottom.
Downtown Portland, Oregon. Out of this month will come greatness at any moment. This is the City Desk news beat. Tim Riley, reporting. Enough of this. A caregiver at the Mountain Oak Adult Group Home in Midvale Park in Arizona made a gruesome discovery. When she went to check on 91-year-old Nina Podsera, she saw the owner's terrier in bed with a woman. She thought the dog was there to play. Well, not quite. Then she saw blood on the dog's face. Sergeant Robinson said the dog had eaten the woman's arm.
What the detectives believe at this time is that it was not an attack. It was the dog got into bed with this victim and for whatever reason began to damage the muscle on the arm.
To damage? Listen to him trying to walk around and did damage. The dog was eating the woman's arm,
and
right?
She's expected to recover. She didn't wake up during the whole thing.
Well, there you go. It's like that woman that was covered in fire ants at that nursing home last month.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, that's like the fourth one in a year.
And eventually the dog will be sent home.
Given a very stern talking to.
Absolutely.
Bad dog. No. Mustn't. All right.
A little obedience training.
Okay.
Meanwhile, from Ohio comes word. A state wildlife officer said a 500-pound bear that attacked a northeast Ohio commercial gaming business on Monday entered a neighbor's home and attacked a woman. Rena Rita of the Department of Natural Resources said the owner of Grand River Fur Exchange was attempting to enter the bear's cage to clean it when the animal escaped. Apparently, they sell live bears to people.
Right next to the turquoise jewelry and the gin.
The bear attacked 36-year-old Rachel Sepley.
That has got to be the weirdest, worst moment of your life. Because you don't see that coming. You're stopping by to use a restroom on the side of the road. A goddamn bear comes out of nowhere and begins taking off your skin.
Well, people have to be more careful when they clean out their cages in the first shop.
Well, why? That doesn't seem... Doesn't seem like that's a minimum wage kind of a job. It seems like that's a bit of specialized training. It's like the bear cage. It's like the same guy they get to put together those rides down in the park for the festival every year.
A needle in a loaf of bread? Well, this comes from Florida, by the way.
Of course it does. Wait, hold on. Florida, I got a little
story.
News from Florida.
A needle in a loaf of bread? That's what 12-year-old Yakira Fox found when it pricked her when she went for a couple of slices of Winn-Dixie bread. In an exclusive story, she described her shock at being pinpricked by a piece of bread.
And I put my hand in the bread and pulled the bread out, and I tried to pull it out, and it poked me my finger a little bit. So I slipped my hand back, then I pulled it back out, and I saw it was a needle in it, and I went to go show my mom.
Put my hand in the bread.
But meanwhile, veteran pop star Pat Boone is quiet on the latest Dixie Chicks controversy. When the 71-year-old performer says he believes people have the right to disagree, even with those in power, he says they don't have the right to be disrespectful. He adds that he thinks the vocal and publicized opposition to President Bush and his policies could be dangerous and play into the hands of America's enemies.
I said I wanted to introduce the Dixie Chicks to Colonel Sanders at the time, but then I got over it, and I thought maybe, you know, she made sort of a half-hearted apology, and now she's retracted that and even is saying she doesn't feel the President of the United States is owed any respect at all. And now what seemed like just a momentary misstep begins to look like a flaw in character.
He's horrified. And when Pat Boone is against you, the jig is up. It's time to get out.
It's time to name names.
There you go. Don't we have a snuff watch?
A very important religious nutcase watch.
Oh, we have an ad hoc. Mm-hmm. Ladies and gentlemen, let's go to the religious nutcase watch for Tuesday. Or whatever show.
All of this comes to us from Florida, also.
What are the odds of that?
And what a place. Authorities in Florida are investigating the burglary of a Korean church in which the words "God hates Asians" and other vulgar statements were written inside the church. And Asians are spelled A-S-A-N-S.
God hates Asians.
God hates Asians.
Well, who doesn't? Damn Asians.
Apparently, the invaders entered the church through a west window. The words "God hates Asians" and other expletives were written with printer toner. Vulgar statements were also written on the wall with a green crayon.
With printer toner? How would you even do that?
Apparently, I don't know. They poured engine oil on the comping machine. They noticed a metal storage cabinet was pried open. Pastor Yed says he doesn't know who committed the burglary and does not know anyone who has problems with anyone, his church, or other Asians.
I'm looking at the picture right now. The picture's hilarious because it's with all this vitriol and like "God hates" and then Asians. Like, not so much Asians. Asians. And Asians sound like some sort of custom-made grape product or something. All right, there you go, kids. There's your... Asians.
No questions, please. No questions. No questions. That's the official policy for Mexican President Fox's 24-hour visit to Utah. According to the latest version of the Mexican leader's schedule, he won't be saying anything at all or answering questions. He's trying to spread Mexican goodwill by not speaking to anyone. It's not just not in Utah. The Mexican leader won't be talking to anyone anywhere in the United States. He's also scheduled to visit Seattle and Sacramento and not speak to a person before he returns to Mexico, where he doesn't speak to anybody anyway.
That'll show him. Mm-hmm. There you go. Just dropping the heavy hammer. I feel... Are you exhausted?
It feels like this show has been going on forever.
I know.
We'll just
keep going.
It's been like a 9-hour show. We'll do this snuff watch here in a second. Hold on, I just got to...
Feels like we're on some Labor Day telethon.
The money is not coming in. Why don't the...
There just isn't enough.
Did you see that Jerry Lewis is going to be going back to Vegas?
No.
I wonder if he's going to be performing when you're there. I saw this article the other day that Jerry Lewis, big puffy Percodan Jerry Lewis, is going to be performing some sort of something or other.
He's performing as the Great Pumpkin.
He's gonna be doing some nightclub act.
And they'll still use that 1950s caricature, which nobody can figure out who that is.
Like the picture of Don Imus that they use. Uh-huh. Where Imus has got the full head of hair and still is able to breathe life into his lungs. And skin isn't all bad. But that line drawing of him that they always use for light, that's probably what they're going to be using. Yeah, he's going to be doing some. And the woman was so bullish about the whole thing. Jerry Lewis, by the way, is 150 years old, has a head the size of a house. I can't even imagine how much the guy weighs. Opening his mouth at this point causes him to break out of beads of sweat everywhere. Every 3-4 words comes out of his mouth. He has to stop and strap up the oxygen so he can plunge on ahead into the next anecdote about when he and Dean were together. But she's like, no, he's going to be singing and dancing and jumping. He's going to be doing none of these things. He's going to be doing none of those things because the minute he tries to do one of those things, his heart is going to explode like a bad melon. And that'll be the end. So if you want to see Jerry Lewis die on stage, I would encourage you.
Just roll him out like a beach ball.
buy your tickets now. The vascular walls are going to go right out the first time he tries to stand up out of a chair on stage. So just so you know, here's Tim Riley.
Time for a snuff watch.
Here's your snuff watch for Tuesday.
Lloyd Benson, a courtly Texan who represented the state in Congress for 28 years and served as President Clinton's first Treasury Secretary, is dead. He is 85. He died at his Houston home, capping off a long political career as a Democratic 1988 vice presidential nominee, famously telling rival Dan Quayle during a televised debate, "Senator, you're no Jack Kennedy."
Which, by the way, Quayle is a pinhead, and he should have seen that coming, because Quayle, like an idiot, had been using that that Kennedy line about, like, blah, 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 one of my... I don't even remember what Quayle said to prompt that. What did he say?
I don't remember.
It was something about, blah, 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 my hero, Kennedy, blah, 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 blah. But Quayle had been saying that at every campaign stop for, like, the previous 6 months. He should have known better. He should have known better than to whip that line out on national television. He should have known that Benson was going to cream him.
Benson's distinguished political career took him from the humble beginnings of his millionaire family estate in the Rio Grande to 6 years in the U.S. House, 22 in the U.S. Senate, and 2 in the Clinton cabinet, where he was instrumental in directing the administrator's economic policy.
Guy looks like a walking Norman Rockwell painting.
Yeah, he does, doesn't he?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So he's dead anyway.
All right, there you go. You know who else looked like a walking Norman? Never mind. It's 503-733-2970. Take a break. Come back. Dennis Pitzenbarger is going to join us. And the audio, we've now got like 9 different chunks of audio from this Steven Seagal interview. And so we are, at like 12:09 when we were like, hey, and Steven Seagal's going to be, we had no idea the road that lay ahead of us. In no way did we see this unfolding. Been the longest show. Take a break. Come back. It's the Rick Emerson Show. There's your snuff watch. Back after this. Don't go anywhere, kids. Stay there. I don't mean to be complaining about things because we have an easier job than most, but are you just... I feel spent.
I just haven't laughed that hard in a really long time.
I was talking to Tim about it. By 12:30, I was done. And no energy left. We had like 2.5 hours.
This is the longest day. It's just dragging.
I know that we have no sympathy from anybody in like a real job, but... All right. It's 503-733-2970. 503-733-2970. My computer up.
Mm-hmm.
All right, let's welcome now to the Rick Emerson Show. All right, good friend Dennis Pitzenbarger joining us now for the Portland Tribune. How are you, sir?
I am doing well. My skull is about to crack and
from
this.
I don't even hear it anymore. I had this playing all weekend.
It's soothing.
I got listeners that are using it to punish their kids. Kids don't do the yard work fast enough.
I want
to
make this my ringtone for my phone.
Will can probably do that. Aaron's girlfriend Jen can probably do that too. She can hack anything.
You know, when you first hear it's a little numbing.
I got a whole bunch of remixes. Guy sent me a techno mix.
But after an amount of time, it kind of grows on you. I guess I understand why you don't hear it anymore. It just kind of...
It's just sort of there. It's like living next to a waterfall. Don't even hear it.
Sing along? I'm a little bit upset.
Can we just leave? You want to do the rest of the show?
I'm fine with that.
Just go take a nap.
All right, Colin. What's the phone number again? 503? Okay,
wait,
no,
wait,
no, no.
Way to go, Dennis. Hey, way to choke.
I'm a little upset, though.
Why?
Because you make me follow... Not Clyde yesterday, in studio for the first time.
Yeah?
Probably one of the best Rick Emerson shows I've listened to. When I'm swerving on major streets in someone else's car laughing...
Clyde is laughter-inducing. Clyde is one of the few guys who can really make me laugh out loud. Clyde and Tim. That's about it.
He really... I mean, just...
Clyde and Tim and Peter Sellers, man.
Flawless delivery every single time on everything he brings up. And then Steven Seagal, bloated, but yet still doing blues with a kind of a Elvis-esque kind of kick here and there, I'm sure.
To reiterate again, I thought, first of all, there was a moment early on, and we have a bunch of sound. So some people have actually sent us sound now of the interview which we're going to play. I feel bad. It's like the third. Sarah asked me. She's like, you don't ever get to anything with Dennis. And I noted this is like the third week in a row. I had some. We were noting that like I never get to it. Like I have all the stuff for you to talk about.
You never actually get to.
I never get to any of it. Yeah, because of all this. I got all this sound to play. But there was this moment early on in the Steven Seagal interview where I didn't think I was going to be able to do it. I mean, when we first started, I was about 60 seconds into it, and Tim and Sarah were laughing. Just doubled over with laughter in the background. Sarah's looking at me making the choke gesture. I'm thinking in my head I'm being punked by Ashton Kutcher. And I'm looking at the clock. I got another 9 minutes with this guy. I'm looking at the sheet, at this list of crap that I got to say. Plastic Pants and Kenny G and Will You Touch My Placenta. And in my head, I'm just like, there's no way, Emerson, you will make it through this. I really thought I was just... But then you realize you can't... There's no way out. I can't just hang up on him.
No, and the Plastic Pants, I thought you worked in probably the best out of all of them. That was...
You can't hang up, but I'm like, if I just start laughing, and that's the thing, I knew if I started laughing, that was it. I was done, because I would never have regained my composure. And then you're sitting there laughing at Steven Seagal.
I wouldn't have been too worried. He's kind of like your dad, you know? I mean, even though
he's
could...
my dad.
No.
He's like one of the most lethal men on Earth.
Yeah, but, I mean, he's too fat. He's like your dad. Even though he can kill you, all you got to do is just make a good run for it.
Okay, he's going to be a Dante's Unsetting. Why don't you go start some crap? Why don't you go get up in his face about it? Go give him the finger in the chest.
No.
Tough guy?
No.
Yeah, I don't think so.
I'm sure he could kill me with one swift...
That's what I'm saying.
Blow, but so I just, you know, I just...
You don't want to screw with that guy.
You look at him from the old school movies, and then you look at him now, and he's just been sitting around, and obviously from the way he sounds, is eating ding-dongs and smoking Monte Cristos. It's horrible, man. It's just not exactly what you expected to see.
Here's a small list of the things we didn't get to. Well, we didn't get to anything today, except for this. And we're now 2 weeks away from this Horns Across the Hawthorne thing. Well, here's what we were going to do today. We were going to try to figure out how long, because here's what we're going to do. Everybody has been asking what we're going to do for 666, which is June 6th, 2006, which is coming up 2 weeks from today. And here's what we're going to do. I believe we've settled on Horns Across the Hawthorne as the name. And so what we're going to do is, at around, I would imagine, probably 5:30, we're going to have as many people as we can gather on the, the north end of the Hawthorne Bridge, you know, where it kind of goes down a little park area, there's a little ramp there. So we're going to gather as many people there as possible, and then at 6:06 on 6:06, so at 6:06 p.m., on June 6th, we are going to have as many people as we can get there, line the north side of the Hawthorne Bridge, that little walking path. And then at 6:06, we will all do the devil horns at once. It'll be captured by a photographer. We got a photographer lined up. He's going to be down on the Esplanade. He's going to get a photo from us. And then we're going to retire to Dante's. We got the pentagram of prizes to spin. It's going to be good. Clyde's going to be there. It's going to be good times. So that's good. But we got to figure out how long the Hawthorne Bridge is. And then, like, how, you know, the average span of the average human, how many people we're going to need. It's just all very good, but that's coming up 2 weeks from today, because for like months now, literally from since we've been back, people have been asking what we're going to be doing for 666, because it only comes literally once a millennium. So that's coming up 2 weeks from today. The horns across the Hawthorne. We're going to be lining people on the north side of the Hawthorne Bridge, and we'll all do the devil horns at 6:06, and we're going to get we'll have some little collectible items and so forth. I'll just commemorate it, because it's going to be good times.
I'll catch it next turn.
No. And I'm sorry. Hold on. That really is deserving of the. That's my fault. Is it?
I haven't got.
Is that me?
Yet.
Do I have my computer turned off? Oh, I do. I'm sorry. That's a little karma there. All right. I'm developing a nervous tic in my eye.
Slow today.
Sorry.
Did you guys ever get to the May 18th top five?
No. Yes. Finally. Yes. Tim was talking to me. Tim was like, I'm so tired. I need to take a nap.
The first thing Tim said to me when I walked in this morning at 11, he's like, there's a weird feeling in the air today.
He said that to me, too. He's like, there's a weird vibe in the air.
Well, look at his hair. He looks a bit flustered. I mean, he's kind of, you know,
What? He is usually, no, you're right. He
talk badly about Tim's hair.
No.
Every hair is usually in place, but today he is a little, like, more frazzled than others.
Steven Seagal has wrecked us all. All right, so I got all this sound.
So you have the audio?
I haven't listened to any of this. So, all right, let's see. Here we go. Oh, this is from, now you know this is the real deal because this is from our good friend, Bruce Agler. Former godlike program director of the Rick Emerson Show. Okay, have you got the computer turned up?
This is
your second record. Would you say that it has more of a world music feel than
this must be the end. This must be about 60 seconds to the end of the interview.
World music feel.
So this is, well, I'm just saying anything that I'm looking down at the...
I don't know what I'm talking about.
I'm looking down at the press information like, I am reading random phrases. I'm trying not to laugh. And at one point, I had to shut my eyes so I wouldn't see Sarah giving me the choke sign. So the question is, because I had to get these five phrases in. That was part of the bet.
During the interview.
We bet 10 bottles of caffeinated water pounded by Sarah versus 10 push-ups given by me on the bridge during Horns Across the Hawthorne that I could get these five phrases in. The five phrases I had to get into the interview were, I enjoy a pair of plastic pants. Trojan implosion. Carrot Top was the best interview ever. The rumor mill goes that you and Kenny G are best friends. And would you like to touch my placenta?
You got all those, didn't you?
That's what I'm saying.
Except for the placenta one.
No. That was at the very end when you were trailing. I heard it.
Yes. Now, that's what I'm saying. So the dispute is whether he was still on
the
phone.
Were you driving, Dennis?
I was driving.
You get distracted sometimes when you drive.
Only when I'm on the sidewalk.
All right. So the dispute is whether I got the phrase in before he hung up.
He hung up.
Well, let's listen, shall we?
Then the last, is it going to continue to evolve into a different kind of sound?
That's a straight traditional blues album.
All right, if people...
Thank you so much for calling.
Listen to the blocking right there.
There was nothing, you're like, and...
It's called Mojo Priest.
All right,
Steven Seagal, the album is called Mojo.
Look what they did to my boy.
StevenSeagal.com. Dante, Sunday, May 28th. Go to StevenSeagal.com.
Listen to how professional I am right there.
Or go to Dante's. Steven Seagal, thank you so much for being here. Good luck with the album. I appreciate that.
Thank you, brother.
All right, thank you so much. Would you like to touch my placenta?
That was you, and you know it.
No,
I can see the look of recognition in your face.
Let's listen one more time.
Oh, you know it.
Listen to how much he sounds like. But listen to how much he sounds like Brando. It's totally a lot of why don't you tell your godfather what everybody seems to know?
This is your second record. Would you say that it has more of a world music
listen
feel
to how professional and together I am
to
there.
Evolve into a different kind of sound?
No, I don't even know what I'm talking about there.
Traditional blues album.
All right, if people...
Thank you so much for calling. Wait, what was the name of your album again?
I will never forgive you for that.
It's called Mojo Priest.
All right, Steven Seagal, the album is called Mojo Priest. The website is StevenSeagal.com. Dante, Sunday, May 28th. Go to StevenSeagal.com for more information or go to Dante's. Steven Seagal, thank you so much for being here. Good luck with the album. I appreciate that.
Thank you, brother.
All right, thank you so much. Would you like to touch my placenta? Evan, back after this, it's the Rick Emerson Show. Live from Portland on AM 970, Solid State Radio.
He was
offline.
Oh, no. But see, from his perspective, now look, here's the thing.
Oh, don't, if you get one of Tim's height.
No, when I reach for the, no, it has nothing to do with that. I'm saying when I reach for the phone, see how my hand blocks the phone line. He
it
couldn't
blocks it
see.
For you. Tim can see from the
he,
side.
No, Dennis, now look, is it true that when I reach over here to hit that,
bottles.
It's blocking the, you can't see it?
Well, I mean, I guess I could have to put myself in Tim's line of sight.
Yeah, and Tim was
so
right there.
He's yay tall.
See, now look, and I'm reaching over. Now I say, listen to this, I say, goodbye, Steven Seagal, would you like to touch my placenta? I'm putting right here. You can't really see the phone line.
I cannot tell if it's blinking
that's
or not. I have
I'm
to
saying.
Give you that.
Excellent. That's what I'm saying. Listen to that right there.
I personally thought you got it in there. I mean, when I listened to it live, I thought you got it
you
in there.
You said goodbye twice and then screeched it.
Okay, listen. Listen to this. Listen to this. Rick, attached are two files of Steven Seagal. One is the full exit audio. This one is a noise that could be Steven's response to the placenta comment. It sounds like Steven.
No,
all right.
It was you going, all right.
Yeah, all right. Well, let's listen to the...
You just did it.
No, I'm just saying.
That's
let's,
your tick.
Let's... What?
I know what you say, and that was one of the things that you say in the downtime. You go, all right.
Let's listen to this full audio. Here's the full... This is like the Zapruder film taken from a different angle. This is from Thomas. one of the people who may or may not be responsible for the podcast of this Rick Emerson show that may or may not be available at RickEmerson.com. Click in the Emerson Army section or go to iTunes. I wouldn't know anything about that. But if those podcasts existed, if this show were, in fact, streamed live, All right. Oh, wait, hold on. What is that?
Oh, it's just the sound. That's
right
him saying
there.
All right.
That's Steven Seagal saying all right.
You are such a liar.
Listen to that. You can hear.
You are blatantly lying. You know you're. All right. That is so.
Right there. That's Steven Seagal saying all right. In response to.
You already hung up on him.
Answering the question when I say. Would you like to touch my placenta? And then Steven Seagal says, all right.
I don't know if he actually said all right to your question. I mean, it could have been someone in the same room asking him if he'd like another vial of heroin. I mean, the way he sounded.
That's Dennis Pitzenbarger that said that, by the way. He can be reached via the Portland Tribune. They are proud to have him on staff there.
Oh, no, now then you'd be lying.
I am going on record as saying, yes, I did kind of step on you a little bit. But that
a little bit. You're starting the music like an hour before the interview's done.
We had a guest. But that is so you saying all right.
The
and
guest
I know
was Steven
know.
Seagal. I was continuing my interview with him.
Rick, see, you're avoiding the question. I know that you know that's you.
Are you saying that I have a verbal tic?
I'm saying that one of your default settings is you going, all right.
Okay.
Play it again. Play it one more time.
All right, fine. I'm reloading it. Shh. Now you're putting it in my head now. Yeah, I don't know. I think it's muddy. I don't think it can be told. Probably, truth be known, this is probably one of those things that's never going to be resolved. We'll probably never really know what happened.
I do remember the caller that brought up the last time, and I believe it was the Carrot Top issue, right? Where you full-on jumped in the middle of that,
oh,
Sarah.
I totally
you
had, did.
Now,
that was a full-blown talk block.
And someone claims, now I have not heard this, someone claims, though, that you promised early on in the show not to block.
Oh, that's...
Someone claims... We had a guy claim, and I haven't heard audio of this. A guy claimed that you, at the beginning of the show, promised that you would not step on or block me.
Did I promise or did I say I'd try?
I don't know because
yeah,
I didn't hear it.
I don't remember promising, but I remember maybe saying, you know, I'd try. I try not to eat pizza. I try not to drink more than 4 cups of coffee.
You try not to smoke?
Yeah.
All right. Let's take a break now.
Well, I guess we'll get to what I was going to talk about in May.
No, yeah, we're not. No.
Oh, okay.
Not ever going to be on two. Not going to happen. Hey, when we come back, I'll tell you what happened to that girl who got her eyelid caught in a zipper, though. Yeah. Also, Liza Minnelli's tired of having sex. You stay there. It's the Rick Emerson Show, live from Portland for today on AM 970. Don't go anywhere. Solid State Radio. You stay right there. Caffeine has no calories. I can't imagine.
It doesn't. Remember, we had this discussion.
No, unless
I looked it up.
And unless your coffee's made by Skippy. I mean, there's no... Man. All right. New coffee from Miracle Whip. What? Oh, it's 503-733-2970. It's the Rick Emerson Show. We're here with Dennis Pitzenbarger with the Portland Tribune, who's contributing nothing to today's program because we brought him in late and have no time.
3 weeks in a row.
Thank you. Thanks for coming in.
I thought we were going to play the song.
We'll go to... Oh, I'm sorry. We'll go to Tim Riley here in a moment, and we've got the... wait, do we have... Thank you. We've got this. Rick. Who is that singing? Her voice sounds just like Sarah. I can see that.
I wish I could do this.
You should do this. This should be like you go out there. Should go to Super Digital.
If you do a jig next to me while I perform it at the next listener party.
I'll do that. Okay. If you sing this, I'll do a jig. You heard it right there. I'm committing now. I will do a jig. I will wear lederhosen. But you have to sing it. Okay, we have now made a deal.
No,
you're not going to weasel out on this one like you weasel out
no,
on everything.
No, it's all about wording, though. I said, if I learn to sing it.
No. No, it was, I said you have to learn to sing it, and you said, if you do a jig.
No, you said, if I learn to sing it.
Okay, but learn to sing it. I will do a jig wearing lederhosen.
Can you stop? We have, like, 2 minutes left. Can we let Tim do something?
Ladies and gentlemen, at the City Desk, it's Tim Riley. Ladies and gentlemen, at the City Desk, it's Tim Riley.
Well, from high atop the bottom of the coin tower in downtown Portland, Oregon, CBS presents the City Desk News Beat. Tim Radley reporting.
Are you exhausted?
No, I can go on for hours here.
Okay.
Just keep putting things in front of me, I'll keep reading them. Lithuanian police were so astonished when they pulled over a truck driver in his breathalyzer test registered 18 times the legal alcohol limit. They brought their testing device back to the station that it was broken. It was not.
18 times?
Yeah.
Well, it is Lithuania.
This is Eastern Europe.
Yeah.
It's close to Russia.
The high tolerance there.
41-year-old Lampintis Sanguna registered 7.27 grams per liter of alcohol in his blood repeatedly on different devices when he was pulled over for driving through the center of town. This is a two-lane highway in the capital. The legal limit is 0.4 grams per liter. The guy should have been lying dead, but he was still driving. Well, that's the unofficial national record, says Solius Vikankinis, the director of the National Police.
Yeah.
He was high of spirits and grinning from ear to ear.
Excellent.
Meanwhile, more than one in four Ontario, I guess this is Canada, teenagers admit they set objects on fire, some of them on a regular basis, according to new report at Adolescent Mental Health. The study for the Center for Addiction and Mental Health, released yesterday, said 27% of grade 7 to 12 students across Ontario reportedly torched something at least once during the previous year. Perhaps most importantly, we found that about 13% reported multiple fire settings three or more times during the past year. So we have a cluster of students involved across the country in risky fire settings.
Fires burning all over Portland right now, set by some teenager dressed in black. This, by the way, is from the Associated Press, Dateline Los Angeles. Three teenagers were burned Saturday, one critically, when an aerosol spray can they were inhaling to become intoxicated burst into flames inside their Datsun. Authority, that's a bad way to go out, inside a Datsun. The boys, aged 16, 15, and 15, were parked in a car, quote, inhaling aerosol spray for the purpose of euphoria. When one of them began smoking. And then he began smoking. That's not even deserting the wah-wah. That's funny right there. That's goddamn funny what I just said. See, smoking, and then he began smoking. The flame ignited the aerosol, resulting in a, quote, humongous fireball inside the car. And there you go, burns, blah, 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 37% of their body. Here's Tim Riley.
Well, it looks like Peter Carlin has written the third of a series of five scathing articles on the new coin ownership.
This is fantastic. Is this the third or the second?
This is the third.
Poor coin. Three, because we saw yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
Yesterday was what, Monday?
Yeah.
So the first one was Sunday, apparently.
Mm-hmm.
So yesterday we saw that Peter Carlin had written this whole thing about coin, and that's what led to this whole discussion that he's sort of the Mike Wallace of Portland, that when he begins writing about you, something has gone wrong. You are about to be arrested, indicted, or fired. And so Tim noted, hey, Peter's written this whole thing about coin. And I'm like, oh, poor coin. That, how could things get any worse? And then today we noticed that it was part two of five.
Memorable quotes include, they have no heart, they have no soul, they have no conscience.
Okay.
Then on the front page is somebody walking away with a coin tower under their arm.
Wait, why would possibly justify five pieces in a row about coin?
I don't know. It's a wonderful place to work, apparently.
I wonder if anybody knows.
No comment.
Okay. Well, we'll have two more days to figure it out as parts four and five.
But you'll notice, as you enter our lobby area, we have shatterproof glass to protect us from disgruntled employees from downstairs.
Okay, listen to this. Listen to this. More quotes from Peter Carlin's piece, part three of five, about coin. I swear to God I'm reading these. Richly infused with bile. Dark and jagged. By the coin employees' resentment and horrible realization that their world has changed and that they have absolutely no control over their own fates.
Who stole my cheese?
You can imagine how awful that feels. You can also imagine how brutal things became. Corporate greed is another phrase used in this. Part three of five. Oh, my God. All right. Well, there you go. So tomorrow, part four of five. And then part five. Maybe we should go back and read parts one and two as well. What else do we have here?
Probably find them online.
Phrases include dismissed from their jobs, years of turmoil, All right, so there you go. There's. All right. How long do we have here? Like a minute?
Yeah. Hey, I think it's time to bring on Dennis Spitzenbauer.
Hey, Dennis, joining us now on the Rick Emerson Show. I gotta use a little. I could use a little pick me up here.
I don't mind this. Obviously, because I put it on my mileage report that we are actually broadcasting from Tillamook. So
okay,
this is all working out for me.
What's coming up? You got that the Exhilarate or whatever the article, the column in the Portland Tribune.
It's called the Fuel Factor. It's in the Exhilarate.
I thought it was
everything.
Called Exhilarate. Oh, Exhilarate.
Exhilarate.
And then the Fuel Factor is your column.
Fuel Factor is my
all
column.
Right. Sorry about that.
That's okay.
All right. So what's coming up? What do you got?
Actually, I'm going to be driving the Range Rover Sport Supercharged, kind of a cool little SUV for those that want to spend $90,000 on a 400 horsepower SUV that'll never go off road.
All right, then.
Maybe someday we'll have a chance to talk about that for longer than 45 seconds. Besides maybe me just throwing in a couple anecdotes.
The best part here is that the intro to this coin story where Peter Carlin talks about having lunch, and he says...
So the 1 minute that you give Dennis, you're interrupting again.
Well, he's noting that his lunch partner, who is from Coin, was talking cheerfully about everything, except the Coin employees who were, even as we spoke, being laid off in Portland. It's part 3 of 5.
If I learn this, will you sing the jig in Later House?
Coming on Thursday. Back at Coin, it's business as usual. But that's not necessarily a happy prospect, says Peter Carlin. All right, and then you guys got the TV show as well?
Got the TV show the first Saturday of every month on Channel 14. The all same right. one that we see you doing Poker World or whatever it is that you do.
Speaking of a happy prospect. All right. Thank you, Dennis.
It's been fun.
You know what? Come back next week.
This is what I'm going to do. I'm going to come back next week, but I'm actually going to come back at like 12:05.
Excellent. Good times.
And then I'll just sit in the waiting room for twice as long.
All right. It's 503-733-2970. We got the writing down. We got the other show coming your way in 21 hours, presumably. Like is the three world famous Phil Hendry Show at 7. We want to thank CNN radio correspondents Ed McCarthy and Jim Roop. And thank Susan Reynolds at CBS Marketing for hooking us up with Steven Seagal, who joined us today. Dennis Pitzenbarger, of course. Rick Emerson, show producer today, interviewed by the lovely Sarah X. Dillon for AM 970 Solid State Radio in the newsroom. Tim Riley, don't let the bastards grind it out. See you all tomorrow. Like us coming your way in about 7 minutes. Stay right there, kids. See you all tomorrow. Bye.
Attention FM DJs in the greater Portland area. Your daily show prep is now concluded. Thanks for listening.